Amen. Amen. Let's go.
Let's show some love to our young believers choir. I was telling Mr. Barrow, I've been meaning for 3 days to call Robin and ask if she would specifically do that song this morning. I love that song. I think if we reflect on the words of that song, it really tells us, it summarizes all of what Jesus was. He left heaven for one reason and one reason only, and that was to pay our sin debt before a holy and righteous God. And I said this in Bible study one night. Jesus has only been in two places. He's been on the throne or on the cross. That's it. And in our lives, we've placed him in one of two places. He is either on the throne of your life, or you've crucified him and put him on the cross. That's it. Either he's in charge or he's not. Please stand this morning and turn to 1 Timothy 3rd chapter, verses 14. I'm going to read verses 14, 15, and 16 this morning. 1 Timothy, 3rd chapter. Verses 14 through 16. When you have it, let me hear as loud as you can. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Let's read together in unison. These things write I unto thee, hoping to come unto thee shortly. But if I tarry long, that thou mayest know how thou ought to behave thyself in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. And without controversy, great is the mystery of godliness. God was manifest in the flesh, justified in the spirit, seen of angels, preached unto the Gentiles, believed on in the world, and received up into glory. Amen. You may be seated in the presence of God. Received up into glory. Shall we pray? Heavenly Father, we thank you for this time around your word. Lord, they say that your name is wonderful, that it's Counselor, that it's Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, and Prince of Peace. So, Father, as we enter into the study of your word this morning, we ask that you speak wonderful words and counseling words and mighty words and peaceful words to us this morning, Lord. Have your way in this house this morning, Lord, and speak to your people in a profound, powerful, and unique way. Move Kelvin all the way, and you come forth and speak to your people this morning, Lord. Don't let them see me or hear me, Lord, but let them see and hear you in all that we do today. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. To Pastor Barnwell and Minister Barnwell and all that are present with us this morning, especially my brother and my friend, Deacon Todd, it's so good to see you this morning. We haven't had a chance to talk for a while. But know that I've been thinking about you and been praying for you, and I'm just so glad and so surprised to see you here this morning. Merry Christmas, everybody.
Merry Christmas.
Christmas time, Christmas time. Some of us love it. Some of us hate it. Some of us love it because of the festive nature of the holiday season and the opportunity to spend time with our friends and family and exchange gifts with one another. And just the general peace on earth and goodwill toward men that we see. People just naturally seem nicer and more giving and more loving and more caring this time of year. However, Christmas time can also be the most painful, depressing, heartbreaking time of the year for some people. Some people sink into a deep depression during the holidays, because more often than not, Christmas brings painful memories of past hurts to the forefront of our mind. Now, sometimes we think about that loved one that we lost. And sometimes we think about that relationship that ended. Sometimes we think about that relationship that won't end. We think about the pain of a less than happy childhood. And we think about the lack of joy and fulfillment that we sometimes find in our present situation. And when these thoughts run through your mind, it's easy to sink into a depression and become run down and begin to wonder if more of the same despair and unhappiness lies ahead as we close a book on 1 year and move forward into another. And some people say, if next year is going to be like this year, I might as well give up. And that's why the number of suicides increased this time of year. Now, I know that sounds morbid, but you'd be surprised how many people want to say amen right there, but wouldn't, because they were afraid to do so because it would clue you in on the loneliness and despair and suffering that they endure in silence every day of their lives. They had to sit here with a straight face and preserve the facade and the pretense that everything's going on, that everything's all right in their lives, when it's the furthest thing from the truth. Somebody knows what I'm talking about. And I began thinking about that a few weeks ago, and the Lord started speaking to me about what people go through this time of year, because it's real. And he was speaking to me about this. He said something pretty strange. He says, think about this new cell phone you just got. Be patient. I'm going somewhere. It's going to make sense in about 2 minutes. He told me to think about a cell phone. So a few weeks ago, I purchased this new cell phone. And those of you all that know the Tyus family know that we love gadgets in our household. We love gadgets. And with this new phone I just got, I can check the internet and I can get my email, and I can check out how some of you are clowning on Facebook and Twitter. And I can watch TV, and I can manage my contacts and do all kinds of great things. Oh yeah, and it's a phone too, so I can actually talk to people on it. The capabilities of this new phone seem unlimited. It does everything I needed to do and more. But because it does so many things, the battery tends to drain faster than on most phones. And they warned me about that in the store when I got it. They said, the harder my phone worked, the faster the battery would drain, and sooner or later it would have to be connected to a power source in order to keep it functioning. And that's where you and I are right now. And that's what the Lord wants to talk to us about today. Connecting to the power source.
All right.
See, by the time Christmas comes, we've gone through all the trials and tribulations and challenges of an entire year. And many of us are beaten, bloody, bruised, and burdened. And we need to be connected to a power source. If we're going to keep carrying on the tasks for which we were created. Without being connected to the power source that is Jesus Christ, we will get weaker and weaker until we're completely drained, lifeless, and can no longer function. Some of us are drained physically. Some of us are drained emotionally. Some of us are drained spiritually. Some of us are drained financially because we act a fool out there in the stores this time of year. Some of us are drained with all the above. So what do we do about it? How do we connect to the source of power and continue fulfilling the purpose for which God created us? I believe that the answer to that question is why people come to church.
Amen.
See, not everybody came today seeking a worship encounter. Some people came today for answers and relief. Some came hoping to find something that will numb the pain of their existence and give them the strength to go on. And I believe that if we grasp the full meaning of this text, we will find the answer to that question before we leave here today. And you coming here this morning will not have been in vain. I know that tradition says that on the Sunday before Christmas, we're supposed to talk about the birth of Jesus and the babe in the manger and the wise men and the Virgin Mary. We're supposed to preach the Christmas story. However, I believe that connecting people to the power source is the Christmas story. Jesus said in John 10:10 that the reason he came from heaven to earth in the first place was for you and I to have life and to have it abundantly. And we cannot and we will not find abundant life outside of a connection, a strong connection with Jesus Christ. No matter how much fame, fortune, and influence you may carry in the world today, you will not have the abundant life that God promises outside of a connection with Jesus Christ. You might be powerful by society standards, but true power is only found in Jesus Christ. Jesus said in Acts 1:8 that we will receive power after the Holy Ghost comes upon us. Jesus is the one who sent the Holy Ghost, not just to teach us and not just to comfort us, but to empower us. So this morning, as we talk about connecting to the power source, let's examine the content of today's text and begin talking about the first thing, which is our conduct. Verses 14 and 15 of our text tell us to pay attention to our conduct, to pay attention to how we conduct ourselves, specifically how we conduct ourselves within the church. Do you realize that the primary source behind church gossip involves the conduct of the people in the church? If folks would just act the way they're supposed to act, you wouldn't have nearly as much to talk about on your ride home from church, or over the dinner table an hour from now, or on the phone later tonight or sometime tomorrow. This entire chapter talks about our conduct. It begins talking about the conduct of ministry leaders. Then it moves on to talking about the conduct of the deacons and deaconesses. And it ends up by talking about the conduct of everybody else. See, we don't realize the great importance that God and non-believers place on our conduct. Our conduct is important because it signifies our character, our commitment, and our qualification to represent Christ. If our conduct is just as sinful and out of line as the people that we're trying to reach, it shows that our connection to the power source is not as strong as it ought to be. And our credibility as Christians is brought into question. That's why people don't want to hear anything you have to tell them when you talk to them about Christ. They're looking at you. Let me talk to my computer savvy folks here for a minute. Those of you that understand Wi-Fi technology understand that when you are connecting to a network, sometimes you've got a strong connection and you can do what you need to do and the information flows back and forth pretty smoothly. Other times you've got a weak connection and things don't work out so well. Although you've got a connection established with the source, because that connection's weak, things move slowly. Communication doesn't flow like it's supposed to, and what you're trying to do often fails. I know y'all had a big breakfast, but you need to wake up because I just explained why your prayers aren't getting answered. Think about how your phone works when you don't have a good signal or a good connection. What happens? You get a whole bunch of static on the line. The communication between you and the other person at the other end is jumbled. It's full of static and it's disrupted and it's unclear. And you're walking around going, can you hear me now? 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 No, they can't hear you now. So when we talk about Jesus is on the main line, we need to make sure our connection is strong, and we need to make sure that our conduct is right so we have a strong connection when we get him on the main line. But see, if we go days and weeks at a time without reading our Bible, pray only when something's wrong, fail to seek first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, walk in disobedience, walk in unforgiveness, walk in anger, walk in bitterness, the connection between, that connection becomes weak, the line gets full of static, and you can't clearly hear what he's trying to say to you. And you can't tell if you're connected to the power source or not. That's why there's no clear direction in your life. Get connected to the power source. But see, we need to pay attention to more than just our conduct. We need to pay attention to our calling. Mm. This text tells us that we ought to know how to behave ourselves or conduct ourselves in the house of God, which is the church of the living God, the pillar and the ground of truth. See, we sometimes lose sight of the fact that the calling and the purpose of the church is to support the transmission of truth and bring help to those who are hurting. Help to those who are hurting. Help to those who are weak. Help to those that are drained and connect them to the power source. But we can't speak the truth if we don't know the truth. Jesus said, knowing the truth is what makes us free. We can't connect people to the power source if we're not connected to them ourselves. Because if the church isn't fulfilling its calling and teaching the truth, then the church has become irrelevant and is really nothing more than a religious social club. See, when the church emphasizes tradition over truth, prosperity and popularity over purpose, our cash over our calling, and our growth over the gospel we're supposed to preach, then the church has lost its focus. Now, don't misunderstand me now. The church needs to be involved in outreach activities. See, church growth is important. We ought to be involved in those kinds of activities that facilitate growth. However, church growth really isn't that difficult to accomplish. There's hundreds of books, thousands of books on the market that teach you the techniques of how to make a church grow. But that's the problem. They're focused on the wrong thing. The focus is in the wrong area. Church health is much more important than church growth. See, if we focus on our calling and ensure the church is indeed the pillar and the ground of truth, and ensure we're conducting ourselves the way we ought to, church growth is going to come automatically. See, if we focus on getting the body of Christ, the church, its people, physically, emotionally, spiritually, and financially healthy, growth is going to be impossible to stop. See, if we connect people to the power source, they'll be recharged, revitalized, reinvigorated, and rededicated and keep on doing what they're supposed to do in the name of the Lord. So instead of walking around asking, what can we do to make the church grow? We need to walk around asking, what can we do to make the church healthy? Because whether you're talking about a physical body or a spiritual body, a healthy body grows naturally. It grows naturally. Growth is only stunted when there's unhealthy conditions or there's an unhealthy environment present. And see, that's why verse 16 talks about godliness and why our conduct and our calling are so important to our connection. See, what I've learned in 5 years of ministry is that when you want to turn people off and make their faces frown up and make their checkbooks close up, start talking about godliness and holiness. You turn people off real quick. See, when you start talking about godliness, people get defensive. You hear people start saying things like, we've all sinned and fallen short of the glory of God. Yeah, that's true. You hear them say things like, nobody's perfect and God knows my heart. Yeah, it's true too. You hear them say things like, God can use us despite our shortcomings. Absolutely right. But we need to stop making excuses for our ungodly conduct and the lack of commitment to our calling. See, he has standards. He has commandments that govern our conduct and our calling. And that standard is called holiness. That's why God says, be holy, because I'm holy. Holiness is not an option. It's not a suggestion. It's not an afterthought. It's a requirement if we're going to be connected to the power source. If you think about a student going to school to pursue a degree, there's certain courses that are requirements and other courses that are electives. If you want a degree in a particular subject of study, there's certain classes you're going to have to take, whether you like them or not, or whether you want them or not. See, we move godliness from the requirement status to the elective status. We moved it. God didn't move it. Godliness is still a requirement. See, if we want to be promoted and elevated and graduated to higher levels of God's kingdom, we must meet the requirements of godliness and holiness. Because that's how we get connected to the power source. That's why Jesus said in Luke 10:19, "Behold, I give you power over all the power of the enemy, and nothing shall by any means hurt you." When we're connected to Jesus, we're connected to the power source. That's why Jesus said in Matthew 28:18, "All power is in heaven and earth is given to me." Because when we're connected to Jesus, we're connected to the power source. See, we need to be connected to Jesus because godliness can only be achieved through a connection with him. So our verse 16 explains that. That's why verse 16 really is a Christmas story. It says, Jesus is God manifested in the flesh. That's your Christmas story. See, but it also explains why our conduct and our calling are so vitally important. Our godly conduct and behavior is manifested. That manifests the presence of God when we have a connection with Christ. How much godliness is manifested in our flesh when we walk around bitter, unforgiving, and mad at the world? Verse 16 also says that Jesus was justified in the Spirit. And that's another reason we need to be connected to him. Romans 5:1, 8:1, 1 Corinthians 6:11, all talk about how when we're connected to Jesus, the power source, we're no longer condemned, and we are also justified in the Spirit. But see, the other thing verse 16 talks about, it says, Jesus was seen by angels. When we're connected to Jesus, Psalm 91 and Hebrews 1 tell us that those same angels, they see us too because they've been given charge over us to protect us and minister to us. But verse 16 also says that Jesus was preached among the Gentiles or unbelievers. See, sometimes the only Jesus people are going to see is a Jesus that shines through our conduct, our calling, and our connection. When our lifestyle is a sermon and a testimony of itself, we can show how he picked us up and turned us around, and then we become, and when we start living the Bible that we claim to believe, our connection to the power source is evident. See, verse 16 also says Jesus was believed on in the world. Our conduct, our calling, and our connection are the report that we give to the world that we're truly believers. That's why Isaiah 53 asks, who believes our report? See, when our conduct is wrong and our calling is unfulfilled, then nobody has any reason to believe our report and has any reason to believe that we are indeed connected to Christ, the power source. Lastly, verse 16 says that Jesus was received up into glory. And that's where our connection with Christ eventually pays off. Jesus said in John 14 that he went back to heaven to go and prepare a place for us. And he one day come back and receive us unto himself. See, we're not received up into glory yet, but he promises that we will be someday if we're connected to him. And this is the point of the service where you can make that connection. Some call it extending an invitation to discipleship. Some call it opening the doors to the church. Whatever term you decide to use is the reason that God made an appointment for you to be here this morning. He wants to connect with you. Now, you can continue trying to handle life on your own battery power, but at some point, you're going to drain completely down, and you're going to have to be connected to the power source that is Jesus Christ. If you're tired of the static that you keep getting on the line, and you know that you need a stronger signal, you know you need a stronger connection, I invite you, I implore you, to not live another second without making Jesus Christ the Lord of your life. Now, if you've already made that connection to Christ, but you're not connected to a local church, you also have an opportunity to make that connection right now. You can connect up with this ministry. And you can be connected to a body of believers that loves you and supports you. Because you're only alone at this point because you choose to be. You don't have to be alone. Let me extend that invitation to you right now. Do we have one this morning? Heavenly Father, we thank you for the word that just went forth. We thank you for the seed that was planted. Although we may not see the harvest today, and we may not see the harvest tomorrow, you said that your word will never return to you void, but it will accomplish the thing that you sent it out to do. And I thank you for using me as the vessel through which you sent it out, Father. And we know that you will be glorified by what went forth in this place today. Continue to minister to your people and bring to their remembrance the words that you spoke to them today. We give you glory.